It is a particular privilege for me as a father to call upon Brother Simon Griffiths to speak to us about the kingdom and the priesthood.
Brothers and sisters, our Brother Keith earlier on this afternoon laid a very strong emphasis that we should compare Scripture with Scripture, that it should be the Scripture which convinces us, that we should not be satisfied that just because a brother has said thus and so, that it is correct. And so I have to admit to you that a sister has confirmed that what I said to you earlier was not quite right. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 8 refers to two-thirds of the nation of Israel being destroyed, not one-third. And so there the point is proved. And so to our subject, the kingdom and the priesthood. And we ought to say at the outset that the priesthood, which it is our part to consider for the first part this evening, is the priesthood of the age to come, which relates to the natural descendants of Levi. We shall not in any sense attempt to deal with the priesthood of the immortal saints. That, I believe, is on the programme for tomorrow, and Brother Keith will deal with that, God willing. We ought to keep those two distinctions quite clear in our mind. Turn with me, please, if you would, to Ezekiel and chapter 20. Because in Ezekiel and chapter 20, a very important point is made. Remembering that there are relatively few of the nation of Israel in the land at the moment. And there's no reason to suppose that that number will greatly increase before the return of Christ. The majority of the nation of Israel are scattered abroad. And the majority of those, indeed, behind the Iron Curtain. And it is they who are to be brought into the wilderness, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 35. This is after all the destruction that we have spoken about. And we see here a process of education is described. I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness, in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And note this, I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel. So it is clear that those of the nation of Israel that are allowed to progress into the land of Israel at the start of the kingdom are those who have been drawn out of the nations of the earth, taken to this wilderness, and purged. So the wicked, quite clear, shall not enter. The rebels will not enter the land. And what follows from that is that those of the nation of Israel who go into the land of Israel will accept Christ. Heretofore, remember, the nation of Israel have not done that. And so they will be regarded as faithful. Clearly, verse 37, I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And so when we are going to speak now of natural descendants of Israel, it is not the majority of the nation of Israel who, for the moment, turn themselves away from God. It is those who are in the land, who have been purged, and who are therefore faithful and in the bond of the covenant. It is they who are the subject of our talk. Now turn with me, please, to Numbers in chapter 18, the reading which we read together, which may not seem a very likely place to go to introduce a topic on worship in the age to come. But it makes a clear reference and a clear distinction, which is one which we shall try and maintain. Numbers 18. And the Lord said unto Aaron, now notice he is speaking to Aaron, thou and thy sons. So it is only the priests, the descendants of Aaron. It is they who will bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. Thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister, now notice this, minister unto thee. The Levites will minister unto the sons of Aaron, or they did do. And where were we? Verse 2. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, and they shall keep thy charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. Quite plain, quite clear. The descendants of Aaron, the priests, approached the altar. The Levites looked after the ministry of the tabernacle. In other words, did all the other jobs apart from approaching the altar itself. So the scheme which has been described then is as we have it there. We have Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and then descended from Jacob, one of his 12 sons, Levi, descended from him, Gershon, Kohath and Merari, and through Kohath we come to Aaron. It was Aaron's son, the eldest son, who was to follow, being the high priest, and Aaron's other sons, who were priests. Now the point that we need to make, that Aaron and his sons were descended from Kohath and descended from Levi. Therefore, all priests were Levites. Only the descendants of Aaron were priests. Therefore, when we are talking about Levites, it may encompass the priests, or it may not. We need to find out from the context. And that is a distinction we may need to keep clear. That is how it was historically. If we go to Hebrews in chapter 7, we shall see a mention there of the change which is to take place. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? So historically, all priests were descended from Aaron. And now in Hebrews we are being told there is another priest who is not descended from Aaron. Speaking, of course, of the Master himself, even Jesus. And so, verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made also the necessity of the law. The Levitical organisation is not changed. It is the priesthood which is changed. The Levites carry on doing much the same as they did before. And so, verse 24, speaking of Christ, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And so the circumstances in the kingdom are something like that. We note that the descendants of Levi are still there. It is only Aaron and the priests that have been replaced by Christ and the saints. And as we said, it is Brother Keith who is going to talk about Christ and the saints. We're going to restrict ourselves now to the duties of the Levites. Again, we need to go back to the Old Testament. We go back now to 1 Chronicles and chapter 9. We'll look at two references in Chronicles, not to examine the detail, more to grasp the flavour of the sort of thing that is being described, and to appreciate how everything was there laid down in a set order. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 21. And Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was the porter of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And all those that were chosen to be porters in the gates were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy in the villages whom David and Samuel the seer did ordain in their set office. And set office means to be faithful or trustworthy. So they have a set office, a responsibility, and particular people did particular things. And just move on a little later in the chapter, and verse 31, and Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shalom, the Korathite, had the set office over the things that were made in pans. And others of their brethren, of the sons of the Kohathites, and remember, descendants of Kohath are Levites, had the set office over things that were made in pans. The Kohathites were over the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. These are the singers, the chief of the fathers of the Levites, remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. Now the whole point that I want to make is that people were given set jobs. There were those who were doorkeepers. There were those who, we have this marvellous expression, there were those who were over things made in pans. They were concerned with the offerings that were made, the meal offerings, the sacrifices, with the preparation of those things. All the detail had to be attended to, and it was all laid down precisely as to who did what. And if we move on to chapter 24, we shall see that it was highly organised to an even greater degree. 1 Chronicles 24, verse 1. These are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, these were the priests. But then we move on to verse 6. And Shemaiah, the son of Nethaneel, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king, the princes, and Zadok the priest, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, before the chief of the fathers of the priests of the Levites, one principal household, one being taken for Eleazar, and one for Ithamar. Now the first lot came forth for Jehoiarib, and so on. And we read there of 24 different divisions, different sections. And we find that the Levites served on a rota basis. Something in the order of 1 week every half a year. And at other times they would be working, presumably, in the Levitical cities. But in the work associated with the temple, it was 1 week every 6 months. And when they were there for that week, they had a set, detailed job to do. Now this, of course, is speaking of the temple which Solomon erected. The temple which is being described in the age to come is much larger. It's vast. There will be hundreds of thousands of people who are there. We've had a small example today of what it's like when we try to get 150 or people so, just through one door, at the back, and through here. And you've seen how difficult it is, because we all congregate there, but despite being told to do otherwise. And you see just how difficult it is for relatively few people to move around and be in the right place at the right time. Imagine what it's going to be like. With hundreds of thousands of people, all wanting to be fed. All wanting to know where they've got to go. Which room they're to be in. They're going to go there to be taught. So they've got to be in the right place in the right time. And somebody has got to organise that and make sure it happens and attend to the detail. and it is the Levites who will do so. We go now to Ezekiel and chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, and we'll go at verse 10. And the Levites that are gone away from me when Israel went astray, which went astray from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having the charge at the gates of the house, ministering to the house. And they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them, that is the people, to minister unto them. So clearly the duties of the Levites, the natural descendants of Levi, is to minister in this fashion, to have charge at the gates. Now we shall see in a moment the importance of having charge at the gates. It is far more than being the brother who welcomes us as we enter into a room such as this. It could hardly be further removed from that duty. And down to verse 12, because they ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. They shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest. Remember, keep the priests and the Levites separate. Nor to come near unto any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame, and so on. But, verse 14, I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. So what is being described is that the priests, these Levites, will do duty at the doors. Now it may not look like it on a plan such as that, but the small gaps that we have along here that we mentioned earlier on this afternoon, they are the gateways. And by a gateway we mean something perhaps rather smaller than the size of this very room. That is just a gateway to go through. And so it is they who will do an awful lot of work in the area, in this part of the building here. And they will go with the people into the circular range of buildings. They will not approach the altar in the middle. That is the duty of the immortal saints. And this is picked up in the contrast in verse 15. Verse 15 clearly says, but. So the subject has changed. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near unto me. They shall minister unto me. They shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. So it is the Levites, serve the people, and attend to the details. The faithful sons of Zadok, I'm not going to prove that they are the immortal saints. It is they who approach the altar. And so in verse 17, we come back to the Levitical priesthood. And it shall come to pass, when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads. They shall have linen bonnets upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. And that immediately takes us back to Genesis. By the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread. The working for our bread and the causing of the sweat is directly associated with sin. And they are to reduce their association with that by not wearing anything which associates with sweat. But they are to have particular clothes as they go to the inner court, but when they go forth into the utter court, to the utter court of the people, we're in verse 19, they shall put off their garments wherewith they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with, better rendered in, their garments. So they are, as they serve for their week, they are to have two sets of garments. And those sets of garments are to be changed. And as they move into the inner circle of buildings, they are to have one set of garments. And as they do their duties in the outer square of buildings, they are to have another set of garments. And that is for the reason given. That which has gone into the most holy must not be allowed to associate with the outer court. The outer court is simply the area within what looks like just a corridor here. It's about as wide as a motorway, but this is the outer court, and everything within the square then is the inner court. And so it is in this range of buildings there that they will change their clothes, because there their duties will change. And they are to do their main part of their work in the outer or the utter court. Now, some have a difficulty with these verses, because verse 15 does describe the Levites, the sons of Zadok, and so on, and nowhere in the chapter are we specifically told that we're actually going back to the natural sons of Levi. But these later verses bring it in quite clear. For example, verse 22, neither shall they take for their wives a widow or her that is put away, but they shall take of the maidens of the seed of the house of Israel. We are talking about Levites who marry and are given in marriage. And it was Jesus who said that in the kingdom there will be neither marrying nor giving in marriage, because the saints will be like to the angels. And so clearly these verses describe mortal people, descendants of Levi, nothing to do with the immortal saints. Now notice the duties now which they have, or some of the duties. Verse 23. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And that was just what they had been failed to do. Just have a quick look at chapter 22 and verse 6. The words used are remarkably similar. Chapter 22 and verse 6. Sorry, chapter 22 and verse 26. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. They had failed to do that in the times of Ezekiel. But remember, those who go into the land are faithful. They will have been educated. They will understand the difference between the clean and the unclean, and between the profane and the holy. And so therefore they will resume those duties which they should have done before, that of teaching the people and explaining the difference between right and wrong. I'm sure this will be under the supervision of the immortal saints. But when we consider the sheer numbers involved of all those mortal population that are going to go up to the temple year by year to worship, vast numbers are going to need to be educated. And there is education to be done throughout the earth. The Levites will play a part under the control of the saints. And so, verse 25, they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter or brother or for sister that hath no husband, they may defile themselves. remarkable reference back to the law concerning the red heifer. We can't turn to look at that now, but association with death was something which had to be cleansed under the law. And here, these particular servants, as they are, what they are, servants in the tabernacle, should not associate themselves with death, because death, of course, is the outworking of sin. And so they should keep clear of such a manifestation. And so, verse 27, in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, into the inner court, to minister unto the sanctuary, he shall offer his... Sorry, we're in the wrong verse. Chapter 44, verse 29, Ezekiel 44 and 29, they shall eat the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering. Everything dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. The first of all fruits and all things and every oblation of all and every sort of your oblation shall be given the priests. And you shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest on mine house. And the priest shall not eat anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. And so all of these offerings which are going to be brought into the temple all have to be prepared. All have to be stored, maybe. All have to be presented in a certain way, at a certain time, in just the right manner. And it is the Levites who will do so. Now remember that their particular charge was the charge of the gates. And we'd like to look now at Ezekiel in chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter 40, and we'll start at verse 35. What we have shown there is a block plan. A block plan of just one of the gateways which we'll be entering as we go enter into the temple. There is just one. There are many such gates on the north side and on the south side, which appear to be for different purposes, but we shan't discuss that. But that is just the gate, or one of the gates. And it is within that gate, or those gates, that the Levites will do an awful lot of their work. So Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 37. And the posts thereof were toward the utter court, and the palm trees were upon the posts. The palm trees are a reference to pillars being upon posts or bases. And then we read on this side and on that side, and the going up had 8 steps. And the chambers and the entries thereof were by the posts of the gate where they washed the burnt offering. So it is at these gates that the burnt offerings which are going to be brought by the mortal population will be washed. And verse 39, in the porch of the gate were 2 tables on this side, 2 tables on that side, to slay thereon the burnt offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering. And at the side without, as one goeth up to the entry of the north gate, there were 2 tables, and on the other side, which was at the porch of the gate, were 2 tables. So altogether, it tells us, verse 41, 4 tables on this side, 4 tables on that side, by the side of the gate, 8 tables altogether. And so, here are the tables. First of all, remember, there were tables for washing the animals. And these tables are here. So they are to be washed. And they are to be taken through this gateway And we saw tables mentioned in the porch. Well, the porch is on the inside of this, or this side of the line of buildings. And here are the gates which are mentioned, the tables which are mentioned in here. So altogether then, there are the eight tables, the four on the outside, the four on the inside, all close to the gates and the steps that were mentioned going up through the gate. All there specifically provided for the cleaning, the preparation and the slaying of the animals. And so verse 42. And the four tables were of hewn stone for the burnt offering, a cubit and a half long, and a cubit and a half broad, and one cubit high, whereupon also they laid the instruments wherewith they slew the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And within were hooks, and hand broad, to fasten round about, and upon the tables was the flesh of the offering. So quite clearly the instruments that would be necessary for the sacrificial offering of those animals, all provided for, all in the right place, in that gate, just where it needs to be. And it is the Levites who will do the work. It is they who will clean and slay the animals. And we mentioned that there were going to be a lot of people, and a lot of people needs a lot of organisation and a lot of food if they're going to be there for more than a few hours. Well, if we go to Ezekiel and chapter 46, we shall find there a description. Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 21. Then he brought me forth into the utter court, so he's in the outer court now, and caused me to pass by the four corners of the court. And behold, there in every corner of the court, there was a court. It sounds complicated, but all it means is at each end of the outer court, which remember is just this section along the sides here, at each end there was a square section, which he calls a corner court. And it gives us the measure in verse 22. In verse 23, there was a row of building roundabouts in them, roundabout them four, so the four corners are the same, and it was made with boiling places under the rows roundabout. Then said he unto me, these are the places of them that boil, where the ministers of the house, notice, so it is the Levites, the ministers of the house, shall boil the sacrifice of the people. So there the food is to be prepared at each of the corners. So detail has been attended to. All the needs have been thought out, laid out, and are in the right place. And remember, this building is several stories high. And so each Levite will need to know where to go, what to do. It's no good him being in this corner here and then remembering that he forgot something, because to get down here it's a quarter of a mile, it's half a mile away. So he's got to think, he's got to know what he's doing. He has a very important role to play for the smooth running of this large building with all the people that are going to be there. Now let's go back to chapter 40, because there was a verse there which we skipped over, which is of quite some importance. Chapter 40 and verse 44. And without the inner gate were the chambers of the singers in the inner court, which was at the side of the gate, of the north gate, and their prospect was toward the south, one at the side of the east gate having its prospect toward the north. We shan't attempt to prove the detail, but we're talking now about the circular area, and that is a vast range of buildings. So there's this which is being described, and they are called chambers of the singers. And verse 45, he said unto me, this chamber, whose prospect is toward the south, in other words, we're talking about the range of buildings on the north side, because they face the south, where were we? To the side of the north gate. Their prospect was toward the south. Verse 45. Whose prospect is toward the south. Sorry. This is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the house. The keepers of the charge of the house. So we're talking about the Levitical priests. The natural descendants of Levi, the keepers of the charge of the house. It is they who are in the northern section. And verse 46. The chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the altar. So the immortal priests have to do with the buildings in the south side, and the mortal priests, those on the north. But these chambers are the chambers of the singers. Now the singers performed a very important task. And it ties in a very marvellous way with something which Brother Keith emphasised for us earlier on about the true nature of worship. Turn with me please to Chronicles again, first of Chronicles and chapter 25. Because when we read the word singers, we might be tempted to the idea that this is a fairly splendid form of choir that gives off an absolutely marvellous sound that it would be wonderful just to sit back and listen to, and that really is the end of the story. But that wasn't the way it was before, and there's no reason to suppose it could be like that in the future. First of Chronicles 25 and verse 1. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated unto the service of the sons of Asaph, and of Heman, and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was thus and so. So they had their musical instruments. And incidentally, they were only made of the very best materials that were available. But notice the detail. We're told that it is those in the middle of verse 1 who should prophesy, who should teach. And remember, Brother Keith reminded us that true worship has to carry with it an understanding, a willingness to submit our minds to the will of God. And here, it is the singers who are being described, and they are also set out in these 24 orders. And we come to verse 5. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn, and God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. Look at it. The king's seer in the words or the matters of God. So the singers were very much involved in the education, which doubtless they did by song. We all know how easy it is to catch hold of the words of a song. We know how easy it is to catch hold of the words of a song which do us no good at all. But song is to be used to teach the mortal population. And verse 6. All these were under the hand of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, harps, for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord. Notice it wasn't something they just picked up as they went along. They were instructed. They paid attention to the detail so that they should have been able to educate the people, which of course subsequently they failed to do. And so it will be the same. Remember, we saw that the Levites will teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane. And that those inner buildings are called the buildings of the singers. And they will educate the people, and song will be used. Part of the education process. And so I hope we've given a flavour, hardly any more than that. But the Levites will play a minor part in the sense that they will not approach the altar. But they will have a very important part to play. Imagine with the thousands of people that will be there. Chaos. If it isn't organised properly, there'll be people all over the place not knowing what to do, where to go. It's organised, and it is the Levites who will do so. So they'll be highly organised. They'll be absolutely vital. They'll be extremely busy. And so by conclusion, let's go to Isaiah in chapter 66. Isaiah 66 and verse 20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of the nations, upon horses and in chariots, upon litters and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. And as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, there's the immortal priests, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me, saith the Lord. And so we now look forward to Brother Keith and the kingdom and the people.